Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wrestle me, Mark Hens.
Wrestle me, Peter Donaldson.
Yes, we're back for part two of WrestleMania 9.
WrestleMania 1X.
1X.
For the Roman theme. That's why they did the... Oh, no, they were also at Caesar's Palace.
They did. they had a big screen in this one, I noticed. So they could have played little VTs and stuff, I reckon.
That's true, yes.
They could have introduced... what's her name? Luna Vachon.
Luna Vachon, but they decided not to.
Luna Vachon.
Luna Vachon. Did you like Luna Vachon? Did she make an impact on you?
Not particularly. I quite liked shouting.
I'm better than Luna Vachon. I'm better than thrice married Luna Vachon.
Thrice married? Hello.
Yes. She was married to both members of the same tag team.
Oh, that's messy, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit messy.
She's got a type.
Well, her type as well, her final husband, was Gangrel, who we see in the Attitude Era, who was a vampire. Called Dave Heath.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we'll be meeting him, I think, probably around 15, maybe? WrestleMania 15?
Lovely old job.
He's lovely.
Oh, lovely or problematic? Just lovely?
No, I think he is just lovely.
Oh,
yeah, except he's a vampire. I think he's got genuinely filed vampire teeth. I'll check
you
that.
Sometimes, I knew a lad from, used to go to my rock club, who used to have fair keys put in.
Uh-huh.
He had them like installed permanently, those little stupid vampire
teeth. I haven't got vampire teeth, but the number of times I bite my own tongue. Imagine having like needles in your mouth.
No, it's so silly.
Stupid idiot.
Silly billies.
That's why vampires died out.
we've reached match three.
Yes, we have. Match two, you're quite right.
Well, match two, but I've written them with the dark match included.
You include the dark matches.
This guy. It should still be canon.
I mean, 6 months ago...
Yeah,
you can pronounce the word wrestling. You used to call it Resbring.
Right? Resbros.
Now, listen to you.
Let's talk about the Resbros.
I always include the dark matches, actually. You know,
if
this
I had
is...
a dollar for all the places I've been in a wrestler.
Oh, if you missed last week's episode, at the end we do get to hear Kamala, who was silent for 20 years. We get to hear some of his voluminous output of self-penned songs, which are actually, all joking aside, I'd say
not unlistenable.
I've heard a few of them now, and I'd say he's probably my second or third favourite artist of all time. I really mean that. I think, you know, he's better than like Eric Clapton, isn't he?
Yeah.
Miles better.
Less racist. but yeah, Tito Santana did defeat Papa Shango in a singles match, 8 minutes long apparently.
Oh, lordy, that's a long That's a long Papa Shango stretch, isn't it, eh? Oh man.
Well, the first
man.
2 minutes was him turning up. Match three, the Steiner brothers and the head shrinkers.
Yes, Fatu, who later became Rikishi, and Samu. All part of the huge Samoan wrestling dynasty.
Their family is massive. The Inouyes.
Huge.
Absolutely huge.
Absolutely.
Including, like, The Rock's granddad and dad and The Rock.
Yep, the Mayavias, yes.
Incredible.
His Rock's grandma.
He married into it, yeah.
Yeah, Rock's grandma was a promoter for a long, long time.
Yeah.
His grandfather was Peter Mayavia. Big wrestler in Britain originally, who then did incredibly well over there. His father, Rocky Johnson, married into the Samoan family. But the Samoans also include, I mean, they branch off in a million different ways.
Yep.
Jimmy Snuka, I think Haku is a member of that family. I mean, they are, and nowadays, the Usos, the tag team, and Roman Reigns.
Yep.
They're all part of that huge family. It's and Tamina Snuka, who is Jimmy Snooker's daughter. One of the few women in his life who he didn't murder. So he's dead. He's dead. The damage is done. Let the man stay in hell.
Let the man rest.
It's a great match, this, actually. I really enjoy it because it's they are the Samoans are notorious for being strong and they like a fight.
And that's why the US do not give them citizenship at birth.
Do they not have...
American Samoans, they don't have citizenship from birth. One of the rare, like, big time US territories that don't get citizenship.
Really? It's worth saying, actually, because people will be shouting at this podcast. Another member, of course, of that Samoan family is Yokozuna,
right,
who is in the main event of this WrestleMania as
Okay.
He's portrayed as being Japanese. But yes,
for
very important. We don't want anyone shouting at the podcast. The Steiner brothers, also really well known for being tough and raw-boned and, in the case of Scott Steiner, slightly uncontrollable and often getting into altercations with people backstage or at airports.
Yes.
He is becoming a problem at this stage, I suppose.
Ramping up.
Nothing like he would become in this. But at this point, the Steiners are the best tag team in the world.
Yes.
They are doing tremendous. They've jumped over from WCW. Their WWE stint doesn't last very long, about a year, and it's really disappointing.
Right.
They win the belts a couple of times, but they just never quite click.
Mm.
And in the end, when they leave because Rick Steiner, the older brother, they are genuine brothers. Rick Steiner says he felt that there were promises made to them by Vince McMahon that weren't kept.
Yeah.
And that seems to be about making them, you know, a huge tag team who didn't lose the belts and win them back. And,
okay.
You know, I think they felt they looked a bit weak. They promote them in this as being from the University of Michigan. They really push that.
They come out in varsity jackets.
And again, like the toga theme that we don't have over here, that thing about being an adult and being really excited about the university you went to. I was thinking about, like, if they'd gone to Camberwell School of Art, coming out in their Camberwell School of Art smocks. You know, it's a really weird thing. They love that in America if you've been to university. They get really excited and you're supposed to really be that until you die.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's like sports teams, isn't it? And to a small extent, probably politics as well. It's kind of, everything's a sports club. Everything's like go.
You also see in this
Sharks one,
something that became a bit of a running joke with Jim Ross is he... never ever shuts up about Oklahoma.
Mm.
He's always going on about it. And in this WrestleMania, when he first appears, he goes something along the lines of, you know, I'm just an Oklahoma boy and here I am at WrestleMania. And I thought, shit, there is the first mention of about 30,000 of WrestleMania.
Right.
It turns out he does it 40 times within this WrestleMania, always going on about, you know, Luna Vachon, they go, we don't get girls like that in Oklahoma. And Bobby Heenan goes, you know, along the lines of going, yeah, they're really ugly in Oklahoma. And it's just that weird thing where, again, being really keen on going on about your home state.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be like me just going all the time, constantly dropping into the thing, going, yeah, well, it's not like that in Middlesex.
It's not like that in Hatch End.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
Yeah, I tell you, Hatch End girls. Let me tell you, Hatch End girls are the most beautiful girls in the world.
Hatch End girls, did it.
Hatch End is quite small, and I think over the years, there's probably been about five girls in Hatch End. And of those five girls, I'd say two are adequate.
Well, speaking of the girls, this is the bit where they start bringing the sort of the backstage stories, like they talk about Sherry and Luna having the aforementioned scrap at the first aid station.
Yeah.
And Bobby Heenan says, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Luna didn't beat that camel up too. And like, I would have liked to have seen that.
Oh, that would be great.
Just Luna trying to pull off the head of a camel.
There's a funny line, just you saying that Randy Savage says as well, which I had to rewind.
It's just noise, though, isn't it?
No.
Those three going on.
No, he gets away with stuff because he sounds like you tune out. You just go, well, this is garbage. At one point, when Luna comes in... God, what is it? Let me have a look. She comes in. It's so offensive. It was like, you fucking arsehole. He says along the lines of, here we are. So Luna comes in and Macho Man, out of nowhere, they're going, who is this woman? It's Luna Vachon. What's she like? And Randy Savage just goes, this is a whore instead of a what?
Who instead of a what?
A whore.
Instead of
it's
a what?
Not like, who.
It's not even
who.
So he's not even tried to sort of...
No. There's another reference a bit later where he sort of goes along the line of...
sorry about what he said earlier.
She's like a Vestal Virgin. He goes, not by choice! So make your fucking mind up, Randy.
She's either a slut or a virgin.
Yeah, in Randy's world, that's exactly how it breaks down, isn't it? And what do you do with virgins? You lock them in dressing rooms, put them under house arrest.
You give them a noggin knocker.
Yes, we're going to see a little bit more about Randy Savage's commentary later about whether or not he's saying his own agenda.
Okay.
While it goes on.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
right, okay.
You can like this. Only a couple of matches.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we'll get to it this episode, don't you worry.
But the big thing with Samoan wrestling, Samoan wrestlers, and certainly this family, they make a big point about how they all have indestructible heads.
Yeah.
And so they do a lot of head bashing and stuff.
A bit of a racist overhang. Wrestlers used to sort of use the headbutt as their...
Okay, right.
Or they'd get hit in the head and they'd just turn around and go, because they can't be hurt.
They can't be hurt because their head's so hard. Because,
you know, got thicker skull.
Right.
Because who's booking this? Albert fucking Hitler.
Albert Hitler.
Albert Hitler.
Old Albert Hitler.
Yeah, I was going to go for an Eichmann there, and I thought, no, he wasn't involved in eugenics. I mean, I'm overthinking it. What I should have said is, some big Nazi.
Some big shit.
We should actually put that in the tag, because that might help the numbers.
Well, 2018 is a strange place. I like the Frankensteiner at the end. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that move.
Again, that
incredible.
Was the greatest move of... you know, this era.
Yeah.
And it was Scott Steiner and the Frankensteiner. He was a big man, and he does it every time. Samu takes the Frankensteiner here, and Samu is also a big man.
Yeah.
And so rather than just sort of roll through safely, he just lands on his head like a tent peg being smashed in. There is a bit in this match where I get the feeling that they've started off and they're doing it, and the crowd... I mean, they've already just seen two matches, you know, third match. They're a bit sort of, you know, whatever. And there's a bit where it's almost like a switch goes. And I don't know whether it's that someone hit someone else too hard, but there's suddenly a bit where you just
spicy.
Go, these two are just like, they're like, it's a car crash and they are just slamming into each other. There's a short section where Rick Steiner throws Samu into the post and it goes clang and then... 13 seconds later, Samu is just throwing Scott Steiner up into the air and over the ropes, and he just lands. I mean, it would be like falling out of a second story window. And it's just, there's a bit there where you just go, this is thrilling. And actually, if there was any match where you just went, do you know what, guys? We're not going to play wrestle anymore. We're just going to fight and see who wins. That is the match I would watch.
Yeah.
It would be thrilling. Rick Steiner is now in real estate, you'll be pleased to hear.
Oh, good.
I had a look at a lot of the properties that he was selling in Atlanta.
Okay.
Big properties, $8 million properties.
Atlanta is a big place, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean,
I love Atlanta. One of my favourite cities.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird. It's one of those hub cities where you can sort of get to everywhere from there. But yeah,
Rick Steiner is selling a lot of prime land for development along different freeways. But I did also do that thing, which is impossible not to do, which is we live in London, which is a uniquely stupid place to have the aspiration of living in anything bigger than, you know, your own head. And I was looking at these, and it's impossible not to, A, look at it and go, I would love to live in that huge mansion for almost no money. And B, I'd like to meet Rick Steiner, and I'd like him to sell me a house.
Has your good lady wife been discussing this with you? Because I need to step in right now.
She needs,
I know you'll have sent an email.
She doesn't need to hear things until they've definitely gone through. And when Rick Steiner and I have finally signed this off, at that point she will be told. And then I will have to ring Rick and explain to him why I can no longer proceed with the agreed development land along Highway 52.
Lovely.
Scott Steiner also, this is incredibly, even though he has a long, long career, this is his only WrestleMania.
Right.
And so he was re-signed with the WWE after WCW, where he was a bigger star, collapsed, and he was around in 2002 and 2003. But I don't think he made those WrestleManias because he was injured. So just a weird quirk that he's only in one WrestleMania. You'd think he was in loads. He develops over the years, so in this one he's very much the collegiate star, and people really had him pegged as being a future huge star. And it never quite happened, but he had this bizarre development in the late 90s where he just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. He becomes this incredibly chiseled. I'd use the word steroid freak, but without saying he's a steroid freak. And he just becomes huge, and he then develops into the big bad booty daddy. He's this furious madman with looking a bit like Hulk Hogan and superstar Billy Graham, where he's constantly talking about sex. He also calls himself Freakzilla, and it's both really disgusting and really great. He has a really bad WWE run at a point where he's slightly broken down against Triple H, where nobody wants to see it, and he gets booed out of the arenas all the time. And then he carries on in TNA, so he's still sort of slightly going at the minute. We were talking about it earlier in the pub, but he has a really great promo that he does, which is about the odds someone has of beating him.
So someone sent this in a few weeks ago now, actually, and I was watching it, and it's something else.
It is.
Like, he got... I mean... What year is this? Is this like a... I can't remember what...
I think this is in TNA.
What am I typing in here?
If you type in Scott Steiner maths promo.
Yeah, it's... something else. I watched it a few times, to be honest, because it goes on such a long time. Because he's in pretty good nick. He's a big guy at this point.
Sacrifice between you, Kurt Angle, and Samoa Joe. Now, before you get there, you have an important step tonight as you and X Division champion Petey Williams take on the unlikely duo of Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe.
You know, they say all men are created equal, but you look at me and you look at Samoa Joe, and you can see that statement is not true. See, normally if you go one-on-one with another wrestler, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. But I'm a genetic freak, and I'm not normal. So you got a 25% at best at beating me. And then you add Kurt Angle to the mix, your chances of winning drastically go down. See, the three-way at Sacrifice, you got a 33 1/3 chance of winning. But I got a 66 2/3 chance of winning, because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me, and he's not even going to try. So, Samoa Joe, you take your 33 1/3 chance minus my 25% chance, and you got an 8 1/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice.
8 1/3. There's a woman at the back. I think she's like a valet or another wrestler or something. And she's just looking around going, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
2/3%. I got 141 2/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. See, Joe, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at Sacrifice.
Is he wearing, like, noodles on his head? Like,
no, he's got a chainmail.
Oh,
a chainmail.
It's like ramen.
He gets a bad rap because he's horrible and he's mean and he's not very good in the ring. But he was great. But he's also, I think his look is fucking great. And when I hear stuff like that, I go, actually, I mean, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't genuinely think this is working out. I think it's brilliant because it starts off convincingly and then it goes off the rails. I like him. There's something about him that is really watchable in a way that great wrestling is, until he gets in the ring, at which point it all breaks down a bit.
Yeah.
But when he was younger and when he's here, I mean, he is unlimited potential.
Mm.
And like a lot of people with unlimited potential, it quickly becomes limited potential as he gets a bit older. They left in 1994, again, you know, disappointing run. But they were at that time, and never really quite repeated it, they were at that time the best tag team in the world.
Right. Okay.
Really, really thrilling pair.
I mean, I like that, like, this, like, when you start saying 94, you sort of go, God, yeah, it was like, you know, Kurt Cobain and all that. You sort of think that the things that were happening at that time, like, in my life, when I wasn't, you know, obviously wasn't watching much wrestling. But, yeah.
Well, I mean, this for me is the period where I begin to drift out. And I drift out because I don't like the way the, you know, it's no longer athletic and fun. It's getting silly.
Yeah.
And the Shawn Michaels match, because it's good, and the Steiners match are almost like the two matches in this WrestleMania where I go, oh, I like wrestling.
Yeah.
And then, weirdly, you see the next bit, the schism, is where it's going towards.
Mm.
And by the time you get to the end, I've basically stopped becoming a wrestling fan.
Right, okay.
I'm like, oh, do you know what? This isn't for me.
Right.
In one WrestleMania. Well done.
Well, speaking of being silly and that.
Ugh, here we go.
Doink the Clown and Crush. In a match.
Yeah.
8 minutes long.
I tell you what, though, watching this, I mean, Doink the Clown, he was very much, a lot of people said, you know, this is exactly the sort of thing that Vince McMahon, we've always said, you know, his wrestlers are clowns, and look, he's put a real clown there. And they were...
He wasn't the worst. I don't think he was the worst character I've ever seen. I quite enjoyed him in this.
He's good in the ring. I mean, he's played by a guy called Matt Bourne, who is on the very, very first WrestleMania in a totally forgettable match against Ricky Steamboat.
Right.
And they brought him back. He doesn't last long, so he plays this evil clown, which he doesn't really want to do. A lot of people refuse to work with him. There was rumours that Hulk Hogan was going to be working with him at this WrestleMania.
Right.
Hulk Hogan didn't want anything to do with it.
Mm.
And he is so good. They give him this evil clown gimmick, and he gets it over.
Yeah.
And he does it really well.
Yeah.
And loads more people go on to play the clown, because... within 6 months, I think Matt Bourne is out because he's having drug problems.
Mm.
So he'd been working with Bam Bam Bigelow after this WrestleMania, and he got the feeling that Bam Bam Bigelow didn't like having to wrestle him because he was a clown.
Mm.
So he thought that Bam Bam Bigelow had dobbed him in, and he said, he basically, you know, he ratted on me because he caught me smoking weed in a hotel corridor, and then he told everyone and I got fired. I was a bit like, mate, if you're smoking weed in a hotel corridor, this isn't like a thing about I was at a party and I smoked, you know, there's a reefer going around. Smoking in a hotel corridor, weed, things have gone wrong already. Weirdly, he's not the worst thing in this match.
No.
Crush is terrible.
The VT that they showed before of Doink the Clown taking his own arm off because he got a fake arm, hasn't
yeah.
he? The kid, there's a shot of the kid watching who can't believe what she's seeing.
No.
She's like, the fuck?
This is
the fuck?
A
just
horrifying
happened?
Attack
his arm
by
just came
a cowardly...
Off.
I mean, imagine how she reacted to September the 11th out of nowhere, because that clown taking his arm off, she is like, this is the worst thing that has ever happened. This is a cowardly attack that will never be surpassed.
It was surprising and it was horrible. Is Doink the Clown his face paint in the clown register? Because you know how clowns have to paint their faces on the
on an egg
to operate as
a
clown.
And then stick it in a church in Bethnal Green.
Yeah.
The International Clown Register. No. It isn't, because the other thing is loads of other people nicked it. When he was a big star, lots of the independent scene, so these small shows, they would advertise Doink the Clown is coming, because you just had to get some bloke to stick makeup on him. So they, you know, it made huge amounts of money for a lot of unscrupulous people.
Ah.
The British promoters all used to have, you know,
Doink the Clown.
Here comes Dint Doink. The Clown, and you know, fresh from America. And it was all a bit...
Where he's like, when he went to Disneyland.
Yes. Steve
where, Dint.
Where he was answering a product, an illegal copyright infringement case.
An international copyright case.
Thank you for helping me out there. I was really struggling with that.
No, you occasionally go to like a clown celebration.
Celebration. It's the annual memorial for the clowns who have died that year. Yeah.
So they have it in Highgate every year, don't they?
No. This is one in Bethnal Green.
But
so you go down there
right.
and the clowns all get together. And it's a service, an annual service.
Right.
And I went there years ago and all the clowns turn up and they sort of, you know, just sit in the pews and they aren't very funny. And they sit there and they listen to another clown who gives a sort of a blessing for the rest. But the thing I really like about it is every year they read out the roll call of the clowns who have died.
Yeah.
And my favourite year, they went, so let's not forget those who have died this year. Big Tom. Rusty Chuckles. Honk honk. And someone at the back would sort of go, oh, like that, reading out these funny names. Floppy Feet. Well, Floppy Feet's dead. You know? So I like to go and see that. That makes me feel good about myself. I'm a mean-spirited young man.
That's
but
all
right. Yeah, I like to see them. And they are by and large
interesting munch.
Well, they're without the makeup, they'd be very worrying men.
Well, Doink the Clown's face paint only lasts about 30 seconds in the match.
I think it looks
And then he looks like a sex criminal.
Oh, but it's great when all the makeup comes off and it's
it
really
looks
frightening.
Scarier then, yeah. He's just looks scarier
there's
then.
There's a weird thing about this, and I know 100% it's got nothing to do with it, but I do look at that and go, it looks just like Heath Ledger in Batman Begins or whatever. No, not Batman Begins, The Dark Knight.
Yeah, Dark Knight, yeah.
And I do watch that and I go, maybe if you were researching clowns, you'd have typed that in, frightening clown, evil clown, on Google, and you would get him come up. But there's a bit right at the end where he's in Crush's cranium crunch, and
that's
his face is all, it's horrible. And his face is all like, you know, distorted, and the makeup's all pulled off. And he's sort of got a ratty-ish beard. And he just looks like he stinks. And I sort of go, that's great. That is... That it's anyone could have seen that and gone, that's the Joker. That's the Joker. And that's the brilliance. Again, a character that everyone hates and looks on really badly, you could argue is a prototype of that sort of Joker reimagining.
Yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't. I'm sure I'm just talking crap. But, well, well done, Doink. The best thing about this match is, apparently, in the end, a second Doink appears.
Mm.
Played by Steve Kern, who was a Skinner. And he comes out from under the ring and hits Crush.
What's
and
a then, Skinner?
Skinner is a character who is like a Florida Everglades man. I think we saw him in the last WrestleMania 8. I think he loses really quickly to someone like Owen Hart.
Right, okay.
I can't quite remember. He's there for, you know, literally 17 seconds.
Yeah.
But the thing about him is they hid him under the ring and then he came out and he attacks. Mm. There's a double vision thing. There is no way for him to get out of the ring. So... He went under there before it started. He had to stay under there in this Las Vegas sun. He's there. He comes out. He does his bit. He goes back under the ring. And he stays there. And he's there all that. There's no way to get him out.
Fantastic. There's not a trap door or anything.
No. I mean, it's an arena. It's just a hard floor in the middle. So you stay under. There's... I'll double check who it is. But there's a famous story about wrestlers having to do that. And one of them just shitting in a bag.
Oh,
and just being
no.
stuck under there for 6 hours with some shitty fucking wrestlers nappy next to you. Awful. the thing they were going to do instead of this double vision thing was when Crush put on his cranium cruncher, they had some weird apparatus that was rigged up that would make Doink's head explode and loads of like liquids would spurt out and Crush would go there in his eyes and then Doink could pin him. And they managed to get some kind of weird apparatus that when his head was squashed, like streamers would come out. And that would have been fucking spectacular.
Yeah, well, it was like a kind of, it was kind of, his head is kind of, his hair's connected to like a Lucha Libre kind of mask, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's, his face is just kind of cut out, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so it all holds together quite well. I mean, again, this is a stunt match.
Mm.
Crush is so boring. So boring. He used to be in Demolition. They give him a sort of a refresh.
Mm.
He becomes a good guy. He's got horrible coloured, sort of very 90s orange and purple and yellow. Sort of like
teeth.
He, oh man, the only thing I found about him that I really enjoyed was I found a Hindi film from a couple of years later,
right,
which he appears in. It's called Killadillion Car Killadi.
Right.
It's from 1996. He's uncredited in it, although in the movie he plays Crush in his costume. And it's an Indian action film where there's an illegal fighting group in New York run by Indian billionaires. And it's on top of a building and they're watching fights to the death. And this one is Crush, who they say he ate 119 men to survive something. I don't quite know what that is.
It's a long survival.
And he takes on The Undertaker, who is not played by The Undertaker, Mark Calloway. He's played by a guy called Brian Lee. And Brian Lee at that time was doing a program with the real Undertaker as a fake Undertaker. So they put the two of them in this Bollywood movie. And the match they have is absolutely brilliant. It's so much fun. It's so over the top and good. And it's just really worth seeing. So I will link to that. That is on YouTube. So I'll stick it on the Twitter.
Okay.
It's a thriller.
When I was looking at the Rock's family, and Yukazona, all those ones, I think the Rock's granddad, who just looks like the Rock but a bit wider, he was in You Only Live Twice as an uncredited taxi driver, I think.
Peter Maivia. Yeah. Notoriously tough man.
Mm.
Yeah. There's some stories about him essentially being able to take out people's eyes at will.
Yay.
Woo.
We all like that kind of thing.
Hard men. Hard men throwing their weight around.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't start!
Both the chaps in this match are also dead. They died very young, and they both died of the same thing, which it seems to be like the flavour of this WrestleMania. It was accidental prescription drug overdoses.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in this
huge amount. So
from Sherry to, I think Sherry to everyone.
Luna.
To yep. Luna, yeah. Everyone's yep. having a
So Doink, Matt Osborne, was found dead in 2013. Accidental overdose of morphine and hydrocodone. He was 55. And Crush, he died, can't see the year, but it was respiratory failure from a combination of, three drugs you can't even say.
Yeah.
God knows what they are. The coroner had said the drugs in his system were individually at therapeutic levels, but their combination impeded his respiratory system enough to kill him, and he was just 43. A whole generation. Again, I mean, this is a funny thing as well, where they're being investigated, the WWF at this time, by a grand jury looking into this sort of steroid thing. And actually what you've got is a generation of quite damaged people who are taking part in recreational drugs and also prescription drug abuse. Yeah. The WWF really, as it became the WWE, they really worked hard to say to anyone, and this was pretty much around the time of the Chris Benoit murders, I think just after, they said anyone who has ever worked with the WWE over the years, doesn't matter how long, you can come in and we will pay for your rehab. And they did that with loads of people.
Is that like the wellness program, they call it?
The wellness program is about active performers not taking drugs that are bad for them.
Yeah.
This is just that they offer a WWE rehab. There's a member of staff who just deals with people who want to have rehab from them. And they have done it for everyone. So even people like Jeff Jarrett, who was running a rival promotion that, you know, used to essentially be running against them. As soon as he left there, he said, I need rehab, and they put him straight in. It's a really remarkable corporate decision, but it's also one that's been built on people like Crush and like Doink, who found themselves at a position. They know that these guys are susceptible, the way their lives have been, to prescription drug abuse. And it's horrible looking at this WrestleMania. That's four people. What are we at? We're at match four.
Yeah.
And so far, four people have died from prescription drug overdoses.
And also, just the way they live their lives and how much work they do every day or every 2 days or every 3 days.
Yeah. It's just, you know, Luna also spoke before her death, about a year before her death. She said one of the hardest things was adapting to not having the rush that you used to get from performing.
Yeah.
And so you're just sitting at home going, this isn't like when I was in front of 16,000 people at Caesar's Palace.
Yeah.
And so you're looking for other highs.
Yeah.
And that's also a problem with the business, that you're a big entertainer, but you have a short window.
And also, you know, you're on the road all the time. Any drugs you take are just a stick and plaster to get to the next town to do the next show.
Yep.
You frequently don't have much of a home life, so your friends and family, you know, that can break that sort of situation up as well. So you're destitute effectively when you go back home.
You're finishing work late, you know, in the evening. You're getting back to a hotel. The only other people at the hotel are all the lads who you hang around with. Great, down the bar. You know, there's so many sort of temptations and so many problems with it. They are. I certainly don't think they're anything like they used to be
no.
now. But it's just sad that what we're at here is a period where, while the business itself is cleaning up when they're saying getting rid of steroids, everything else is still a problem. And it's a problem for when they leave.
It's a problem for those guys. It's less of a problem, I guess, for people who are in bands and stuff like that. But it's a similar kind of lifestyle, isn't it? You know, you get in bed late, you're on the road six out of the, you know, 12 months of the year and stuff.
But that's the thing, six out of the 12 months. These guys, they probably have, what, 3 weeks off, 4 weeks off? The rest of the time, they're just out there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether it's got hugely better, but certainly everyone treats it very differently to how they did here. I think there was still a sense here that they were meat, that they were just performers, that they'd throw them out there, and there was no sense of looking after them. And I think that's really changed now.
Yeah.
For the better.
Yeah, definitely. There's a racist VT with some Japanese photographers.
It's gross, isn't it? It's got Todd Pettengill. And Todd Pettengill...
So he's like he's about as colour as the colour... well, not commentator, but he's like Mr. Funny Joke, haha. Like, and this is the first time we've seen him, isn't it?
It is. This is his first WrestleMania. He signed. He was a huge DJ on morning radio,
right,
in the New York area, and he'd been working that for quite a while. He kept, you know, getting these radio personalities. He's a bit like Jim Carrey light.
Yeah,
there's something. He's very annoying in everything you see him in. Mm. And he's sort of brusque with people and be funny.
I think, yeah, his gags are shit, but, like, I think he... I don't think he's the worst person who I've seen do that particular job, going into the crowd and stuff.
I think he's really dog shit. I can't stand him. One of the rarest things about him is he's an American with really bad teeth.
Yeah.
He's got really, really bad teeth on the side. I started having a look to see what he was doing. So he was a DJ in New York, and he was very known for his phone scams.
Where you'd ring crank calls and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Be careful the next time you pick up the phone. If you think the caller is being a little zany and over the top, odds are you're getting pranked by radio broadcaster Todd Pettengill. he worked with WWE for a number of years, but he basically said, I can't do this and the radio show. Mm. And he's been doing this radio show, this morning show, which is on WPL in New York City. He's been doing it for 22 years.
Wow. He looks quite young.
They get 3 million viewers. Oh, listeners rather.
Right, yeah.
I'll try and remember it's radio and podcasting. I hate
him.
His work.
I hate him.
If I ever have the chance to listen to that show, I will not.
I presume, knowing how Rudy D's work, because I am one myself, I imagine he's still working somewhere.
He's still working there. Yes.
He's still working there.
22 years.
Oh, sorry, 20 years
Scott
now.
Scott and Todd in the morning, 95.5 WPLJ in New York City.
Wow.
From 6 to 10 every morning, he and Scott Shannon, along with Joe Monk Pardavila and Cooper Lawrence, lampoon pop culture, and along with some of Todd's trademark parodies and prank calls.
Oh, God.
22 years, Pete.
Parodies.
22 years.
Parodies.
We once did Breakfast for 18 months, and we went... absolutely batshit crazy.
It's a miracle we still talk to one another, to be quite frank.
It's a miracle I can still walk. I tell you, the only good thing about those 18 months was I had an almost encyclopedic knowledge of what time each pub in the tiny area of London we were working, I knew what time they opened their door. Because if one of them did it at 11:05, that was too late. I needed to be in the pub at 11 a.m. Now, 22 years.
Incredible, isn't it?
I mean,
can you imagine how bitter and...
How stale that show is. I'm sure it's brilliant.
I'm sure it's excellent.
He does have another footnote in WWE history, which is sort of fascinatingly... just fascinating. Mm. I'm going to let him have that. when he left, he said, there is someone who I can recommend who might be quite good. And he said the news guy who works on my radio show is a big WWE fan. And that guy was Michael Cole, who is still to this day the lead announcer.
Oh, right,
okay. All the things. And who's ended up having a WrestleMania match of his own.
Oh, fair dues then.
And it was a terrible match. But Todd Pettengill, I think we see him for another few years.
Okay.
I hate his high-octane... zingy, zangy. There's a couple of bits in here. He does an interview with a kid where he leans over and he goes, where'd you get them Prince Charles ears?
Because
this child has big ears.
The thing is, he doesn't even have big ears. They just folded over because his hat's over the top of it. And his dad just sits there going, oh, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to step in on it.
I'd have punched damn snaggly teeth. I'm aware that he's alive, and I don't want to. I'm sure he's really nice. It's just there's something of the combination for me about seeing him and being reminded of how much I hated him as a kid at a time when wrestling felt like it was getting away from me because I didn't like it. Mm. He represents a lot of that for me.
Right. Okay.
Of trying to be zingy and contemporary and hip and. Just missing it all.
Yeah.
And this racist bit he does is just, there's some Japanese cameramen and he sort of tries to speak to them. He says, you know, what do you think about that doink thing? And the Japanese cameraman sort of goes, oh, I don't really.
I thought it was ill advised.
Yeah.
I thought it was dreadful.
And then.
I don't want to be in there no more. Are you.
Why are we not doing the thing where his head exploded, all the streamers?
That's what I came here for.
And then, so then he just goes, Yokozuna. And they go, oh, ha 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 ha. I mean, again...
He doesn't even do it right. He doesn't even deliver it properly.
The network has the option to just drop that little bit. No one is going to go, what happened to that bit in WrestleMania 9 that I really love, where Todd Pettendill did a racist bit that doesn't really work?
Yeah.
You know, let it go, guys. Chop it out.
Yeah.
Dreadful. Chop it out.
Dreadful. Chop
it
out.
Chop all of Todd Pettendill out.
Would you pay for a WWE network, but with no Pettingill?
Yes,
I would. Pettingill-free WWE network.
I would. Okay. I'd also pay to watch an animated series where he got his sort of testicles caught in things.
The next match is Razor Ramon and Bob Backlund.
Yes.
I always get Razor Ramon mixed up with Roman Reigns.
Do you?
Yeah. Because the names.
That's true.
They've got black hair, I think.
That's true. Right, Razor Ramon looks so good
in
this WrestleMania.
He looks like such a baddie,
Doesn't he?
Like Miami drug dealing monster.
Doesn't he? He's a sort of Scarface-esque Cuban thing played by Scott Hall, who was from Florida, but who did it brilliantly. You wouldn't have guessed, out of all the people in this WrestleMania, who the person who changed the business entirely would be in 3 years' time.
Yes.
And that's Scott Hall when he jumps from WWE to WCW and ignites what becomes the Attitude Era and the Monday Night Wars. Mm. He is so good here. This match is always seen as being one of the worst matches around, and partly it's Bob Backlund was the WWF champion in the 70s.
Right.
He held it for about 5-6 years. And he's
pretty good, Nick.
He is astonishingly. He was, at the time, he was a big superhero babyface. People loved him. He had huge sellouts at Madison Square Garden. He was a big deal. And he just became a little bit stale. Mm. They decided they wanted to go with Hogan. Backlund didn't really want to lose to Hogan. So he ends up losing to the Iron Sheik. And then Sheik loses to Hogan.
Yep.
And Backlund begins fading away. So Backlund in this match, I think, is about 43. Which could be, Pete, let's face it, about 3 months older than I am now. And he's portrayed as being this old man out of step. And he came from a different era.
Mm.
For 8 years, he'd really disappeared. He just hadn't done anything other than keep in shape.
Yeah.
Stan Hansen, who's one of the great wrestlers who went to Japan, became a huge gaijin superhero, superstar. He said that Backlund was the best athlete he'd ever faced in his entire career.
Right.
He just didn't tire. He'd quite regularly do 1 hour draws for 4 nights a week.
Right.
And the people that he faced during his reign, you know, absolute Hall of Fame, your Greg Valentine's, your Jimmy Snookers, Adrian Adonis, Big John Studd, you know, he was really, really big.
Mm.
But he got phased out. And so what they did was they brought him back here. He was really fit. And what they didn't want was people on steroids.
Yeah.
And Backlund was absolutely the safest pair of hands for not being on steroids out of everyone. He didn't like Hulk Hogan for that reason. He was slightly against the way the business was going.
Yeah.
They bring him back here and it just doesn't work.
No.
It's the first time really a WrestleMania crowd chant for the bad guy.
Right.
You know,
that's not good, is it?
It was
a fairly short match compared to all the stuff we've had, really. It was only 3 or 4 minutes. But during this match, it can't be Macho Man, it's probably Heenan, who basically says, if you want to learn, if you want to get some backstage interviews and things like that, call a hotline.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise there was like a WWE kind of, you know, money grab kind of hotline, basically, where you ring up and, you know, it was like, it reminds me of when I used to be a kid. And every summer, as a Newcastle United supporter, I would ring Club Call.
Yeah.
And you'd phone up and go, welcome to Club Call. Calls charged at 42 pence per minute and, you know, so-and-so standard rate and all that
yeah.
stuff. And then they just keep you on the line as long as possible. So possibly coming to the Premiership with Newcastle United is Roberto Baggio. Talks are continuing. And this was funded by the club. And they knew
yeah.
who was coming in and going out the club. But they just put rumours on this line.
I used to be obsessed
with together.
The Pro Wrestling Illustrated hotline. And what they did was we didn't used to get WCW here. When satellite TV came in, you could often pick it up on the German channels. But
yes,
this is only
right,
93, 94. Prior to that, if you wanted to find out what the results of Starrcade were, their big WrestleMania in WCW, I used to have to ring that. And basically, my dad had got an itemized bill back, and he was like, what the fuck is this?
This number, yeah.
And I was like, oh, God, I'm really embarrassed. And he was like, this is, you know, this is one of these chat lines. Like, no, it's...
0898-50-50-50.
He was really slightly disappointed when I went, no, it's Pro Wrestling Illustrated. He's like, oh, this fucking shit.
The one that I used to ring was I used to do like graphic adventures like Monkey Island stuff and like,
yeah, video just, tips lines.
Yeah, and you'd ring up and you'd be like, press 1 to find out how to grab the rope from the tree. And it was just, I mean, it wouldn't take the mick, but it would still be 40 pence per minute. I mean, the games would be 40 quid, 35 yeah. quid. And I used to spend at least that on the line.
It was impossible not to spend about... I remember I'd do it and I'd be looking to see if my dad was around, you know. and I'd get onto it and you'd just dial that number and it would go, you've got through to the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Wrestle Line. The number one for... And oh, God. And it would do that slow thing of, you know, press one for newest results. Click. And it goes, so, Starrcade, hey? And it's like, get to it.
Oh, fantastic. Razor Ramon finishes the match by going, me, one more for the bed guy. I've no idea what any of that means. It's just he went mad. Me, one for the bed guy.
The best thing about that is it's such a boring match, and then Razor Ramon beats him with a small package like... He's beat the wrestler with wrestling.
Right, okay, yeah.
And if you were Bob Backlund, you'd have gone, I don't know what's going to happen to me now. This seems like it's over. And Razor Ramon is genuinely pleased by the way that everyone's reacting. Again, because Backlund is just, to the audience, a flabby man
yeah.
who's 43, who they're seeing against a real-life cartoon character.
Yeah.
You know, why would you care? Backlund actually ends up, and he becomes great, where he says, he said it came from him, but he basically said, can I be a bad guy? Can I be a bad guy? Because he said, everyone that they like now is, as far as I'm concerned, you know, on steroids and horrible, and they're full of shit. And he said, and I'm nice, and why don't I just keep being nice and make them hate me for being nice?
Yeah.
And he ends up having a run that he becomes, after 8 years totally in the wilderness, he becomes in 1994 the hottest heel that WWF have.
Really?
And they make him the champion again.
How does he do that though? As like a nice guy,
he just does it by berating people, by saying, you know, you like them, you should be liking me. It was so well done. It's regarded that run as he has a bad WrestleMania match coming up at 11, and it slightly sort of ruined the legacy of just how good he was for those
right,
few years.
Okay.
But we'll get to that. That's a long watch.
We will get to that. Well, once again, we've reached the end of a show.
Good God.
I mean, you know, we're cracking on. But there will be a third part because we've got some hefty situations to get
yes,
to
haven't we?
In the next one. If you want to get to the show, as always... do get to the show. It's
at WrestleMePod on Twitter.
At WrestleMePod on Twitter and show at WrestleMePod.com.
Yes, and thanks everyone who's left like a review on
yes.
iTunes. That's very helpful for us.
Well, Mark, you put together little kind of like little shots and stick them on Twitter, and it's just nice self-propagating.
Yeah,
backslapping. I would say.
Do you know what I'd like? I'd really like a WrestleMe fan club that we could all join, and I could send out like badges and stuff.
Yeah, I want to make some T-shirts saying "She's been daughter" stuff.
I used to have a next door neighbour who was jailed for their part in running a fraudulent Adam and the Ants fan club.
Is that right? Jailed.
Jailed, I know. Tough sentence.
Jeez.
They basically just didn't get round to making any of the stuff, and they had loads of like postal orders. But I mean,
oh, it was fraud. It wasn't. They weren't jailed for like copyright infringement.
No,
they were jailed for frauding. Defrauding people out of money.
They also were in breach of copyright. I mean, it had nothing to do with Adam and the Ants.
No, yeah, no money was going to
Adam. Strange thing to be in prison, and you've gone to prison because of your failed Adam and the Ants venture.
Adam Ant threw a starter motor through a window, and he didn't go to prison.
No, I think he was unwell. My neighbour was just greedy.
Yeah. Greedy versus Unwell. That will be the title of the next episode.
WrestleMania 9, Greedy versus Unwell.
Fair dues. There's a lot of drug abuse, you know, Oxycontins and stuff going on. Yes, do get to the show. We'll be back next week with more WrestleMania.
WrestleMania, Peter!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.